When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the all-new 2014 Toyota Corolla.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, and there's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. And this is Stuff You Should Know, the podcast.
Greetings. This is not a capital punishment show.
No.
Although we will deal with that, obviously. But we at some point will probably do a full episode on capital punishment.
I would guess.
Don't you imagine? Because we have an article on it, and we're going to touch on it here with lethal injections.
Yeah, and just coming across some stuff on the electric chair, that to me seems like it deserves its own episode as well, just because it's so nuts.
Sounds like we're cooking up a suite.
Yeah, the capital punishment suite. We come up with the best suites, don't we?
Well, it's a big deal, you know. It's important.
I agree.
To cover, you know.
You know, Chuck, about 14 hours ago, a guy named Joseph Paul Franklin, I can't remember what his birth name was, but he legally changed his name to Joseph Paul after in honor of Joseph Paul Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist.
What a nice guy he must be to change his name to that.
Right. So Missouri just executed him at 12:01 Wednesday, November 19th.
Yeah.
Was today the 19th or the 20th?
I don't know.
One of those two. And actually, Hustler publisher Larry Flint was making a big hubbub trying to keep the man from being killed, which is somewhat ironic, although not really if you followed Larry Flint's career, because he was the man who supposedly shot Larry Flint and paralyzed him for life.
Supposedly? Was he not convicted of that?
No, he confessed to it.
Oh, okay.
And it was quite possible. The reason that he gave for doing it was because Hustler had some interracial spread that the guy didn't like.
Oh, like, yeah, sure.
And he was targeting interracial couples.
Gotcha.
He shot a couple of black kids in Ohio, I believe. And he was killed in Missouri because he randomly picked St. Louis out of the phone book and went and found a synagogue and just sat outside and took shots at people as they came out of a bar mitzvah.
So he's racist. He's an anti-Semite.
He also had serious mental health issues as well.
Yeah.
And he shot Larry Flint.
Okay.
But he was executed. And the whole reason that Larry Flint was creating this hubbub about not killing this guy.
Yeah.
One, Flint had a famous quote from the last news cycle that he didn't think the government should be in the business of killing people. So he's against capital punishment anyway.
You going to say it like Larry Flint?
I don't do a very good Larry Flint.
You put some marbles in your mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
You going to try?
No.
So he just doesn't think that the death penalty is a good thing. Anyway,
right.
He's an abolitionist, you would say. And then secondly, he filed a suit to have the name of the supplier of the drug that was going to be used in the lethal injection revealed, unsealed, because it's secret. And it's not supposed to be secret, but as we'll find out, states recently have had to scramble to come up with the drugs to execute prisoners of the state.
Yeah.
There's a big thing going on that we'll talk about, but that was the most recent execution in the United States, which makes 35 for the year. And all but one of those were lethal injections, the other one being the electric chair.
Yeah, it is fast become the go-to method for most states and many countries. If you're going to get capital punishment going, then
you're
probably going to do it by way of lethal injection these days.
Yeah, but it's also the newest one, too. And it came out of this, this, well, basically what amounted to an abolitionist movement in the 1960s and 70s that sought to just get rid of the death penalty. And that was the third major movement in the United States since the late 18th century, where people were just trying to get rid of capital punishment altogether.
Yeah, they did halt it in 1972 after Supreme Court ruling Furman v. Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they, I remember reading about this later. Obviously, I didn't read in 1972. I would have been a very advanced one-year-old. But they said it was cruel and unusual under the Eighth Amendment, violating the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And then, but 4 years later, they reversed that in Gregg versus Georgia and said, you know what, maybe that is cruel and unusual, so let's come up with a way that's not. And they came up with lethal injection.
Yeah, and the reason why that cruel and unusual had a lot of traction was because there were hangings before, and hangings are very, very messy.
Yeah, shootings.
If the noose isn't right, the head can pop right off. Or if the neck isn't broken, the person just hangs there and suffocates for a minute or two and then dies. And then the electrocution is really, really awful, too. I was reading a list of botched executions.
Yeah.
And electrocutions are very frequently botched. People, their heads catch fire. Blood comes out of their eyes. It's really awful stuff.
Yeah.
So there was this idea that the whole point of this is retributive. It's you did something so bad that we as a society have decided that you can't live any longer. But we as a society aren't as cruel as you are. You know,
right.
The point isn't to make you suffer. It's just to take your life.
Right.
And to do it in the most humane way possible. Well, electrocution, hanging, gas chamber, none of those really fit the bill. So somebody came up with the idea of lethal injection. But this wasn't the first time that was proposed. The first time was in the 19th century, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there was a guy named Julius Mount Brier. And he was a doctor out of New York who said, you know, this would work because it'd be efficient, humane, and it would keep the person from having some sort of hero status develop around them that sometimes comes from people who are hanged.
Gotcha.
But they went with electrocution instead.
Well, in 1982, the U.S. became the first country to use lethal injection. And like we said, since then, it's really become predominant. I think the current number of states that have the death penalty is 32. As of today?
Yeah.
But it's tough because states have been repealing it.
It's dropping like flies.
I don't know about like flies, but maybe like honeybees.
Right. And those are states that have taken the possibility of capital punishment off of their books, right?
Yeah.
So, well, you know, 32 is the number that have the death penalty, right?
32 have a death penalty.
Okay.
Not necessarily meaning that they used that in the past year.
Right.
Necessarily.
There's something called de facto abolition, which is basically like, yeah, it's on our books, but we haven't used it in so long
sure.
that we might as well not even have
yeah.
the death penalty. So Chuck, like we said, lethal injection is the most frequently used method in the United States, and it's fast becoming the same around the world. China picked it up, after the United States, and they replaced their shootings. And that kind of led to, it seems like almost a domino effect throughout Asia of other countries picking it up as well.
Yeah, the Philippines, Taiwan, Guatemala, they're in Central America. They have all gone to lethal injection. And right now I have, in 2012, 58 countries used lethal injection in 2012, down from 67 in 2010, and 63 in 2011. And 140 countries have outlawed the death penalty worldwide. So,
and like you said, states are kind of starting to abolish it.
Yeah.
Executions are down in general in the United States. Last year, there were 43. This year, like we said, there's been 35. And we're fast closing out the year. But lethal injection is the go-to method of execution. And so we're going to figure out how it works.
That's right. Right now, there are 3,108 people as of spring of this year on death row, 98% are male, of course, because you don't find a lot of females on death row because they're smart enough to not to kill other people, generally speaking.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Women are much smarter. a lot of these folks have been on death row for decades, waiting to die. Maybe they're working through the appeals process because that all has to happen first.
Mm-hmm.
Some will die on death row without ever going into an execution chamber.
Yeah.
It happens.
Some people commit or try to commit suicide before they can be executed after their appeals run out.
Sure.
There was a guy in Georgia who almost successfully killed himself. He cut his carotid artery.
Wow. With what, I wonder?
A razor that guard had given him, I guess, to shave with ostensibly.
Here, take the razor.
And the guy, they rushed into the hospital, saved his life, and then executed him a week later.
Wow. It's a funny country. So you're on death row. You've exhausted your appeals.
Mm-hmm.
You are finally going to get that execution order, and a date will be set in place for that execution. At this point, you're going to be moved from death row to a place called Death Watch.
Yeah.
And that is basically that's the last stop. That's your holding area for the last days or weeks.
Right. So Death Watch is both a physical place, like it's frequently in the same part of the prison that the execution chamber is located, or it might be in another prison entirely. Some states just maintain one execution chamber for the whole state, and it's at a certain prison. So you'd be transferred to that place. And then Death Watch also is supposedly they're supposed to watch you so you don't commit suicide. And it's also your, I think, rights kind of open up a little more. You get visits from people. Your treatment is a little better.
Yeah.
I think you get a room with a view, as it were. And you start the preparation of dying, of saying goodbye, and of coming to terms with the fact that it's happening.
Yeah. You know, the state of Texas has these death watch rooms at, on highway exits. Most highway exits. You got your gas station, your subway, and your death watch room.
I believe it.
I'm kidding. But Texas executes a lot of people.
It does. Texas bears, they execute a lot, but they're not the only ones that have all sorts of weirdness going on.
No,
apparently,
no, no. 2%
of counties account for like 50 to 70% of executions in the United States.
It just seems like Texas comes up all the time when they're like, the last time this method was used, or the first time this method was used,
right.
It's always Texas.
Well, Texas was the first one to use lethal injection,
yeah,
like you said.
Exactly.
And, yeah, they kill a lot of people there.
Yeah. Not picking on you, Texas. I love you guys.
No, here, I've got one. Alabama.
Okay.
In Alabama, it takes a unanimous jury to hand down a life sentence, but it takes 10 of 12 to hand down a death sentence.
Really?
Yeah. And a judge can overrule a jury.
A life sentence jury?
Yeah, and say, no, this person needs a death penalty. And they do it frequently.
Interesting. We'll pick on Georgia, too, in a minute.
Okay. Well, Georgia was the one that executed the guy after saving his life after the suicide attempt.
All right. Great.
great.
I just want to make sure we doled out enough, you know, embarrassment for each state. So you're on death watch. You mm-hmm. can be visited more often, generally by friends and family.
No, we're in, like, the last 24 hours-ish now, right?
Yeah. Your attorneys, spiritual advisors, you're going to get your last meal. That is not a fallacy. Whatever you want, they'll prepare for you.
No, that's not necessarily true.
Well, it depends. Generally, they satisfy your desire, but when does it not get satisfied? What state doesn't do that?
Texas.
Really?
Yeah. There is a legislation that was passed after this one inmate ordered a meat lover's pizza, like 24 tacos, like this awesome spread that just reading it. I was like, oh, man, I'm kind of hungry for this, reading about this man's last meal, and they didn't eat any of it. Even still, there's probably $200 worth of food.
Sure.
But it caused enough outrage in the state legislature that they passed the thing where it's like, you can have whatever the prison cafeteria is cooking that night. That's your last meal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a really great article in Lapham's Quarterly online for free called Last Meal. Go check it out. It's just basically this awesome history and contemporary evaluation of last meals.
That's pretty sad.
It is, but it's really interesting what it says. Like, there's a guy in Arkansas who was executed in the 90s. His name was Barry Lee Fairchild. And he pointed out that it doesn't make a lot of sense to give a condemned person a last meal. He said it was, quote, like putting gas in a car that don't have no motor. But, like, you have no need to take in food because you have no need to derive the energy from it any longer because you're about to lose your life.
Well, it's not about deriving energy. It's about enjoying one last thing.
Right. But if you look at the capital punishment system,
yeah,
that's it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I say go read the article. I'm not getting the point across very well.
Well, I mean, I see what he's saying, but it's not like you got to fuel up for the big day. It's like, here, enjoy a steak.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, it flies in the face of the rest of the criminal justice system.
Oh, well, sure. Enjoy the steak, then, you know.
And time was, they used to get you drunk, like, beforehand.
That's what I'm talking
about. If you're going to get hanged in London,
yeah,
like, from the prison to the gallows, they would stop and they'd let you drink as much as you wanted and would take you super drunk and kill you.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that could provide a more docile victim or...
A really weepy one, which would be really
disconcerting. Yeah, or like someone who starts causing lots of trouble, you know?
Yeah, he wants to fight one last time.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But apparently, I read somewhere that they sedate criminals or the condemned here first.
Right.
So that's kind of like a modern incarnation of taking them and getting them drunk, handing them a Valium.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Okay. So you've had your last meal, which may or not be awesome, depending on where you live.
Yeah.
Your warden and your chaplain are going to visit. They're going to stay with you till the end, unless you don't want them there. You can probably refuse any kind of religious associations if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses, we'll get to all that, but the witnesses arrive at this point. They're kept away from you, though. They don't get to, like, walk by and say things to you.
No. As a matter of fact, most
except
witnesses are required. Well, in Texas, they can take pot shots at you with their six shooters. sorry, Texas. The witnesses in pretty much across the board, I'm sure, are required to be totally silent the whole time they leave.
Yeah.
And are brought into the execution area.
Yeah. Not like the people outside of prisons who are making lots of noise usually.
Right. One way or the other.
Protest or kill them.
Yeah.
That's as ugly as this country gets, man.
When
you see the footage of people outside prisons at controversial executions.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. And then your final preparations, they're going to give you, clean clothes,
let you take a last shower.
Sure. Shower, get dressed, and then connect you to the old EKG, which is going to, you know, let everyone know if you're gone or if you're still with them.
Yeah. They hook the EKG up to you. It's not hooked to anything yet, but they've got it like a,
you're pre-wired.
Exactly.
Basically.
And then once you're showered and dressed and wired up with an EKG, the warden and the chaplain are hanging out with you. At the predetermined time, they will start to move you into the execution chamber. And meanwhile, the witnesses are there.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the witnesses. Like the fact that there are witnesses at executions is actually the modern incarnation of a very long tradition. Like we used to have public executions in this country.
Yeah, like thousands of people would show up. Sometimes they would charge admission.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that stopped and only a select number of people were allowed to witness. But
well,
they're still witnesses, you know?
Have you read about the last public execution?
I didn't read that book.
There was, I didn't either.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you were asking.
No. Just about it.
Oh, okay.
There was a guy named Rainey Bethia in Kentucky who was hanged in 1936 for rape and murder, I think. And his execution was attended by like 20,000 people.
Wow.
The big reason was it's not because they knew it was the last public execution. I think they decided to stop that after this execution.
There was a Kentucky basketball game after?
Yeah.
Is that it?
The sheriff was a woman. So this is going to be the first execution in U.S. history ever conducted by a woman.
Gotcha.
And people wanted to go see how badly she was going to screw this up. And even though she didn't, the press still wrote that she'd fainted, that like everything had been botched or whatever. But that's why everybody turned out. But there were charges from out-of-town reporters that people were having hanging parties, that they were drunk in the streets partying, that basically there was just a sense of revelry that shouldn't attend an execution.
Yeah.
And that was the last straw for public executions in this country.
But
it got the idea that you need to have other people witness a death when the state's executing somebody just to make sure it's totally transparent. That was carried on with witnesses today in executions.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, too. And part of it is also to give victims closure, the families, that is, of victims.
Sure.
There will be sometimes family members of the prisoner, too, and they are generally kept apart.
Not always.
Generally, yeah. The prison warden is going to be there. You're going to have medical people on hand, of course, to make sure it all goes as planned.
Which is pretty controversial, as we'll find.
You got your spiritual advisor, like we talked about. You got your guards. State selected witnesses. Maybe, I mean, there might be members of the state government there to watch it all go down.
Yeah, you got media there. You also have what are known as reputable citizens. And those are basically just average everyday citizens that witness executions.
Is it like a lottery or something?
No, it's like you contact your state DOC and say, hey, I want to witness an execution. And they send you an application form. You explain why. You have to be over 18. You have to explain why you want to do this. But apparently the pool is thin enough that they're not real selective. As long as you don't say, like, because I want to see him, like, bleed or something like that, they will let you do this.
Yeah.
And apparently, when there was a surge in executions in the 90s, Chuck, departments of corrections were so hard up because a lot of state law says you have to have 6 reputable citizens or 12 reputable citizens.
Right.
That their pool was running thin. So departments of corrections were actually advertising, looking for people to witness executions.
Why
in,
do you
like,
have
newspapers
to have that?
That's
just silly.
It's just law. It's just that holdover from
it's antiquated.
Having the public be a part of this
yeah.
state monopoly on violence.
It's stupid, but so much so that they're trying to force it now.
Well, I don't think it's a problem anymore. It was just in the 90s. Like, they were killing everybody.
In the 90s?
Yeah.
All right. So you've got your witnesses there. Your execution chambers may have clear glass with a curtain pulled.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a one-way mirror where you can only see into the executed, into the condemned. It all depends on your state, basically. But it's generally going to be a pretty quiet thing.
Oh, yeah.
No matter where you are.
It's a whole group of people that are just being utterly silent watching you.
Or if there's too many family members, they might have a closed-circuit feed going on in another room.
Yeah.
If it's like, you know, if it's not roomy.
And enough. Apparently in Illinois, if you're a family member, the only way you can witness it is via closed circuit TV in another room.
In Illinois?
In Illinois.
All right.
That's another state. It's a new one. We haven't mentioned Illinois yet.
Yeah, we didn't really make fun of them, though. I guess their execution chamber's small.
Yeah.
We can make fun of them. There aren't any seats in there.
Nice state budget.
You've got your timeline of events. It's all very much scheduled, like down to the minute. You're going to have your person properly dressed. You're going to escort them into the chamber.
I was thinking about this when I was reading this article, Chuck. Imagine like just taking a shower too fast. And
right.
so you just kind of have to sit there on the edge of the bed with the warden and whatever spiritual advisor they throw at you.
Yeah.
Waiting to go be executed.
Yeah.
That has to be the worst wait ever.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine it being much worse than that because they can't be like, well, we'll just get this started early. No, everything
right.
is on a very delineated schedule.
Sure.
And they're just going to have to sit there until the time comes to go to the execution chamber to get started.
So take a long shower?
That stuck out to me, yeah.
Okay.
The longest shower of your life.
The saddest shower of your life, for sure. You might be rolled in, like restrained beforehand and rolled in on a gurney.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're allowed to walk there yourself and then you're restrained. Once you're in there, and at that point, they are going to go ahead and pre-rig you with the IV tubes to lead you in there. And then those, once you get in there and you're strapped in, they will be fed into what's called an anteroom, where the actual death cocktails await and the executioner awaits.
Yeah, it's like an enclosed room away from the eyes of everybody, including the condemned and the witnesses.
Oh, yeah.
But you have two tubes. Most states require two. There's a backup to one to serve as a backup.
At this point, you have your final statement, if you so choose.
Mm-hmm.
They'll read that out loud on the news that night.
Yeah.
Just be careful what you say.
You can go on to...
Are we giving advice to death row inmates?
It just occurred to me that we
are. Yeah.
You can go on to... Departments of Corrections websites, and most of them have last statements on there. Some of them are what you'd expect. Some are eerie.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And generally the head is unrestrained, so they can look around and stuff. Although sometimes they do have like a hood or a sheet. Again, it depends on the state and how they do it.
Yeah. So the condemned is strapped into a gurney, strapped down, but their head's under restraint. They've got tubes leading into their the IV needles.
Yeah.
And it's ready to go.
Yeah, I think now's a good time for a message break, and then we'll get into the actual process afterward. Stuff you should know.
Hey everybody, we're here to tell you about Viator, a tool that you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world.
That's right. The Viator app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you're traveling or what you're interested in.
Yep, Viator can help you plan better travel experiences. 300,000 plus travel experiences to choose from means you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy.
That's right. You can also enjoy real traveler reviews to get insider information from people who've already been on the experience that you're considering. Plus, you get free cancellation that helps you plan for the unexpected.
Yeah, and Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. So download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. Hey, everybody. It's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
Okay. So like you said, it's go time. Very solemn moment.
Yeah. For a long time, states were using something called basically an electronic lethal injection machine.
Which makes sense.
It was what Kevorkian came up with, basically. It was, if not directly based on his model, it was at least very similar to it. But then they worried about mechanical failure, so they said, no, humans need to do this.
I think they had mechanical failures.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
And so in some states you have one executioner, and others you have a couple of executioners, and they're in this anteroom where the actual drugs are,
yeah,
that the IV tubes are leading to from the execution chamber into the anteroom. And if you have a few different executioners, they're all putting drugs into IV tubes, but none of the executioners know which one's the real IV tube and which one's just leading to a mannequin.
And that isn't actually a mannequin. that you know, that old trick. Like, they used to do the same thing with flipping the switch, too. I think they had, like, several switches.
Firing squads?
Yeah, because they don't want any one person to have that weight. They can always think, I guess I had a 30%, 33% chance that it was me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we should move on to the drugs that are used. It used to almost always be a 3-drug cocktail, but things are getting weird these days, I've noticed.
Yeah. Originally, it was 3 drugs. You would have an anesthetic, a paralyzing agent, and a toxic agent. And those were used for years and years. And then due to some circumstances, a bunch of different circumstances that converged, were in some cases down to one. Like Joseph Paul Franklin was killed with just 1 drug.
Well, I looked up almost every single execution in 2013 used a single drug, pentobarbital.
Okay. Which is an anesthetic.
Yeah, and it's basically a substitute when they're in short supply of other ones. But I did see that it's actually illegal to use this drug this way. And the manufacturer is Danish and was like, well, no, you can't use our drug that way.
Right.
So they started fighting people who sold that drug to, like, state agencies.
Exactly.
It's very controversial.
And states were trying to get this stuff any way they could. So since it was banned for use by correctional facilities
yeah.
for executions,
The ultimate correction.
The DEA was actually raiding departments of corrections and taking their drugs.
Yeah.
So because of this ban, because of the drug maker. And so first you had the drug maker that was making pentothal, right?
Yeah.
And then people were like, well, how about this? We have propofol.
That's the anesthetic pentothal is.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what they were replacing it with was propofol, which is Michael Jackson's milk that killed him.
Did we get it right this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the maker of propofol said, if you can't use that to execute people, it's not what we made this for.
Right.
And they said, well, TS, we're going to use it anyway. And so the maker said, if you use that to kill anybody, we're going to cut off supplies to the entire United States, including hospitals, and you're going to have an enormous problem on your hands.
Yeah.
And so all of the hospitals contacted the Departments of the Corrections and said, do not use that. Like, we can't have a propofol shortage.
Yeah, like, we need it.
So now they're turning to compounding pharmacies, which are generally regulated mostly by the state, not so much by the feds, and trying to get their hands any way they can on some sort of general anesthetic. And the anesthetic, ideally, if they were using pentothal or penobarbital?
Pentobarbital, yeah.
If you were in a hospital and you were put under general anesthesia,
yeah,
they would use about 100 milligrams of this stuff delivered over 10 to 15 seconds, and you would be out. It's an anesthetic. You wouldn't be asleep. You wouldn't be unconscious. You are under general anesthesia. You're not feeling anything. You're not anything. So that's 100 milligrams for just general anesthesia. When you're given a lethal injection of penobarbital, they give you 5 grams. 5,000 milligrams, not 100 milligrams, 5,000 milligrams of this stuff.
Yeah, and that's enough to kill you flat out. And proponents of lethal injection will say they don't feel anything after that.
Right. And again, that should just be enough to kill you, which is why a lot of states are just using that one drug now.
Yeah.
In the original lethal injection cocktail, that was step one.
Yeah.
Once they administered the anesthetic, they would flush the lines with saline solution. And then they would introduce the next one, which is a paralyzing agent.
Yeah, that's basically the heaviest duty muscle relaxant you could ever imagine, because it relaxes your muscles so much that your diaphragms and lungs don't function any longer.
Yeah.
Like, that's a serious muscle relaxant.
Right, so you stop breathing. So that's way to die number two now.
Yeah, and that takes about 1 to 3 minutes for that one to take effect fully.
So then that one's been kind of abandoned because it's been criticized, or the use of it's been criticized, because a lot of people point out that that's really for the witnesses. Because without it, when somebody's dying, a lot of times they will writhe, they will gasp for breath, they will their back will arch as much as it can when it's strapped down to a gurney.
Yeah.
When you administer a paralyzing agent, none of that happens. So the witnesses are like, oh, look, it looks like he wanted to die. Look at what a peaceful death that man just went through.
Right.
So it's for the witnesses. And then number two, it could also conceivably mask pain.
Sure.
So if it's masking pain, then it's also masking a possibly inhumane method of execution.
Yeah.
So they kind of discontinued the paralyzing agent. But that was traditionally step two. And then once that one was administered, so are you getting the point here that, like, they're really going the extra mile to make sure you're dead in the 90s through lethal injection?
Yeah, and you know what? I might as well go ahead and get into this. We just put our dog down 2 days ago, mm-hmm. and they do the same thing with that.
It's the, like, paralyzing agent?
Three different things were injected into her. It's like the first go-to-sleep thing, mm-hmm. and then the second paralyzer, and then the final thing, like, she's gone, but hey, let's just inject this just to make sure the heart is stopped.
Was it – okay, so it was the toxic agent, potassium chloride?
I'm not sure. I mean, they said it was a trade concoction for their company.
I gotcha. But, okay, so then it probably wasn't potassium chloride, because I don't think that's proprietary. But in some states, the use of potassium chloride, the toxic agent, which is the third one
– yeah.
That's not even allowed for use on pets, but they were using it on inmates.
Because it induces cardiac arrest?
Because it could conceivably cause pain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm sorry about your dog, buddy.
That's right. I appreciate that. And hey, thank you to everyone. I put that on the Stuff You Should Know while, and people were super supportive.
Well, yeah.
and told a lot of their own stories of their pets passing. So I think maybe at some point I might put together a little like you did the pet costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I might do like a pet memorial thing where people can send in.
That would be very nice.
And memorialize their pets, stuff you should know. Anyway, I did find it interesting though, that I picked this topic.
Yeah, I kept wanting to send you stuff about it yesterday, and I was like,
and I picked it knowing, I guess it was just this weird subliminal thing, like maybe I was trying to work through it or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I did find interesting the triple drug cocktail and the similarities. Yeah. I don't think it was the exact same stuff, but it's the same process basically. All right, so death from beginning to end, 5 to 18 minutes after the execution order is given, kind of just depends.
Okay, so that's ideally. Remember, the execution order is when, like, you've moved into the execution chamber.
Yes.
And the warden says it's
like
time to execute.
The phone's not ringing.
Right.
The governor's not calling.
Right. So that's when they start working on you, like putting in the IV tubes and all that stuff.
Right.
Now, remember, the whole point of execution in the United States criminal justice system is not to inflict pain or cause suffering.
Right.
It's simply to take that person's life in the most humane, efficient means possible. Right?
Yeah.
So what happens if you can't find a vein? That happens very frequently.
Oh, yeah?
There's a lot of cases of the condemned helpfully saying, well, try this vein over here. I think this one feels pretty good. Try this one.
Right.
Like helping these people, like, stick them to put these lethal drugs in them.
Sure.
And that particularly is the case with IV drug users who have lots of collapsed veins. It's also, Chuck, part of the problem when you don't have experienced medical personnel.
Yeah.
Which is one of the big controversies of lethal injection. Because if you notice, it has a lot of the trappings of a medical procedure. But it completely flies in the face of medicine.
Sure.
Because the Hippocratic Oath says first do no harm.
Yeah.
Well, carrying out or even assisting in an execution is doing harm. So the American Medical Association tried to pass a resolution saying, we're going to take the license of anybody who is involved in an execution.
Right.
And all the states said, no, you can't do that. We're going to protect the doctor's licenses because we need these people. And that's kind of a conundrum, you know, like,
yeah.
Do you not have anything to do with an execution and let some prison guard try to find a vein and stick this person for 60 minutes?
Yeah.
And prolong the point from, okay, start executing to death.
Sure.
So this person's more aware and anxious and thinking about it. Or do you kind of throw your Hippocratic Oath to the side,
right,
and help this person's execution go as painlessly and humanely as possible?
Yeah, finding a vein's not too tough, though.
I was reading, like, botched
really?
Executions, and that's the number one.
That they can't find a vein?
Yeah.
What are they feeding these people? You know? Because they're not using heroin in prison, are they? Or are
no,
they?
But I think if you used heroin for a significant portion of your life, your veins are collapsed forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think they grow back.
Okay. So it's generally, though, a prison guard or somebody that works for the prison, though, that actually administers it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
And plus, also, there's another thing, too. If they're not good at delivering the drugs, if they're not practiced at that.
Yeah.
The flow of the drugs, if you push it in too fast, can cause a lot of pain and suffering. That's one.
Right.
That's another one, too, which is another reason why some states require that medical staff be on hand to assist with these things.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no humane way to put someone, you know?
So that's...
To kill somebody. Like, you can't asphyxiate someone with feathers.
Okay, no. And it's true, but... I was looking around, like, okay, if lethal injection isn't even considered humane, which a lot of people say, like, it's not.
Right.
There's a lot of pain. One of the drugs that's being used these days is called midazolam.
Uh-huh.
And it's a sedative. It's not an anesthetic. So if you put somebody out with it, that doesn't mean that they can't feel pain any longer.
Right.
But that's due to this shortage of pentobarbital. People are using that. So they're saying, wait, we're using untested drugs. These people are possibly feeling excruciating pain, but you can't tell because we're using a paralyzing agent.
Right.
What? There's got to be another way to do this. And some people recently have been speaking up and saying...
Heroin?
No.
No.
But I think there's probably a few seconds when you're introducing the pentobarbital where they're like, all right.
This feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's called inert gas asphyxiation.
Okay.
So when you suffocate, apparently the pain and discomfort is caused by not being able to expel CO2.
Right.
With inert gas asphyxiation, mm-hmm. you are inhaling gas that's not oxygen, say pure nitrogen gas, but you're still capable of exhaling CO2, which means that the whole process should be painless, right? And unconsciousness takes effect in a couple of seconds, death a few more seconds after that. So they think it's possible that they may have figured out the most humane method of capital punishment around, inert gas asphyxiation.
Are they like practicing that?
No, but I suspect that if this kind of reform thing continues going on,
right.
we'll see inert gas chambers pretty soon.
Yeah. You know, the old firing squad is instantaneous, probably.
No.
If done right.
Yeah, but it rarely is done right. That's the thing.
What do you mean rarely it's done right? Give me a statistic.
Well, okay.
How many shooting firing squads, percentage-wise, aren't done properly?
So... I would probably say the vast majority.
Really?
Yeah. You're trying to, again, if you're doing something humanely and efficiently, you want to remove human error. So finding a vein, introducing the drug at a proper rate.
Uh-huh.
Like all of these things are subject to human error, right?
Yeah.
Shooting a bullet at somebody from 50 feet or whatever,
yeah.
that's got all kinds of human error involved in it. I would say go read and I'm not an activist. I'm not being an activist
right.
here. Go read this article called On the Possible Pain from Various Methods of Execution,
yeah.
I believe is what it's called. There's a guy in the 80s who basically went around and said, let me get all the evidence I possibly can
uh-huh.
from the different types of execution that people are put through to figure out how much pain and how frequently they feel pain, how much they feel as well. And he came up with this amazing study, and firing squads are not, they're bloody. They're not good.
Well, I know they're bloody, but I didn't know that they were botched so that people lived most of the time after being shot by 8 dudes in the head.
But that's another thing. They don't aim for the head. A lot of times only one guy has a bullet.
Where do they aim?
The chest.
The chest.
So you're shot through the heart, right?
And is that like all countries across the board or?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I'm just saying, I would say go read that study. My money's on inert gas.
Inert gas?
Definitely not on firing squads.
The guillotine.
Well, that came out of that one reform movement from the late 18th century.
That's as instant as it gets.
No, it's not. Do you not remember our...
Yeah, we said it's possible that the head is alive for a couple of seconds.
4 seconds?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't even know you right now. I got one last one.
All right.
So... there is a huge disparity in the death penalty as a whole among races. So it turns out 89% of capital cases feature a black or Hispanic defendant.
Uh-huh.
And then with victims, there's a big race disparity too. In death penalty cases in the United States, I think either last year or in the last few years, 77% of the victims have been white. 15% have been black, 6% have been Hispanic for the victims.
Right.
So it's disproportionately doled out against people who have killed white people.
Right.
Than it is to people who have killed black or Hispanic people.
Gotcha.
And other was like 2% or something like that.
Interesting.
Hey there, are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals. But you can drink water as clean as nature intended.
Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain, everybody. This rain is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants commonly found in groundwater.
Yep, Richard's Rainwater is naturally pure with no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing.
and you can enjoy the clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And we even have a special offer, don't we, Josh?
Yeah, text STUFF to 2512928887, and you'll get $2 off a 12-pack case of Richard's rainwater. Sip the sky. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
So Lethal Injection. Man, that was a weird one, huh?
Well, I mean, this is touchy stuff, you know.
If you want to learn more about Lethal Injection, you can type that into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said search bar, it's time for a listener mail.
I'm going to call this What a Long Strange Trip It's Been, because that's what Whitney called it. Hey guys, I'm Whitney. And I'm a 20-something band teacher from Provo, Utah. My husband, also a band teacher, introduced me to your show in 2009 when he was commuting 1 hour each way to Park City every day. When I started my current job last year, I started listening to you guys after I realized how crappy radio was and I exhausted the music on my iPod. I started one on episode one and just today caught up with the Werewolf podcast.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad. I was excited and sad all at the same time. We hear that a lot, actually. I know you get lots of emails and you're probably sick of them, but I felt like I had to write once I caught up. During the last school year, I had my first child, started my new job, and moved twice, the second move being into our first home. Needless to say, with all this change, I started to get pretty stressed and even depressed. On top of all this, I teach beginning band to 6th and 7th grade kids. My job is very exciting and I love it, but I can get frustrated and even develop road rage at times.
Stupid kids!
Your podcast was my sanity through all this, dudes. I was able to focus my mind on exciting things like Barbie dolls and serial killers, and it all made my day a little bit brighter. So I just wanted to say how much I appreciate all the podcasts. I feel like I'm learning, keeping my mind engaged, and enjoying your banter. And I think my 18-month-old daughter also enjoys, since she's heard your voices since she was just a tiny thing. Hope you keep making them. Whitney Werner.
Thanks a lot, Whitney.
From Provo, Utah, band teaching.
And we are shaping young minds, 18-month-old minds.
Yeah. In utero, even, we've heard.
Yeah.
People, for some reason, play us.
Forget teaching your kids sign language. Just have them listen to stuff you should know.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you want to let us know how we have helped your life out or how we've influenced the development of your child, that's a good one, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to stuffpodcasts@discovery.com. And as always, check us out at our awesome website. It's called stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the all-new 2014 Toyota Corolla.
Are you thirsty? Well, Richard's rainwater is caught clean before it even hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, No microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of still rainwater or the cold pressured bubbles of sparkling rainwater. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. And for a coupon, text STUFF to 251-292-8887 and receive $2 off a 12-pack case of Richards Rainwater. Hey everybody, I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.